being in the service this morning reminded, I'm sure Wanda would say the same thing, why we love the church so much when we're living in the area, and so glad to be back with you this morning. And I also wanted to say thank you, first of all, for this past summer. You helped us on our trip to Brazil, and we had a fantastic trip. We saw many, many, many come to the Lord through visitation, home visitation. Juan and I both had the opportunity to teach. She taught the women, and I taught the men in a Bible study. And it went really well for 4 nights. And we just had a great time. And so I wanted to thank you, before I did anything else, for your help and supporting us in that this summer. It was just a great trip. So if you would this morning, take your Bibles and turn over to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 15, just one verse of scripture this morning. I'm looking at the time on the screen, and I'm thinking about all that gorgeous, preacher saying no, I'm thinking about all that gorgeous food down there.
Good thing is you don't have to go anywhere.
That's true. Okay, well, just settle in then. Okay, since you put it that way. But I want you to listen to this word this morning, the word hopeless. Hopeless. That's a sad word, isn't it? Just even listening to you, you know, someone has said that's the saddest word in the English language, hopeless and hopelessness. And there's a lot of people that live in that state constantly, that state of hopelessness. Maybe not every area of their life, but maybe there's a certain area, maybe there's a certain part of your life that you're dealing with, and it seems like it's a hopeless situation. Maybe you would say this morning, I know exactly what you're talking about, Bobby. My marriage is hopeless. You know, we struggle, we try, we go to counseling, we try to do this, we try to do that, we do everything we can, but it just seems like it's not working out, and you know, it just feels like it's hopeless. Well, I know what you're talking about, Bobby. My health is hopeless. I go to the doctor, I take the medicine, I do the therapy, I do everything they say to do, but you know, I'm not getting any better. In fact, I'm getting worse. And doctors said I won't ever get any better. And so, you know, it's just, I'm living in hopelessness. Or you might say, Bobby, I know exactly what you're talking about because I struggle with this problem. I struggle with this addiction. I struggle with this area of my life. And, you know, I prayed that God would break this chain, break this habit. But, you know, every time I think I'm getting better, I fall back into the habit. You know, I just feel hopeless. And so there's numerous areas we could mention this morning, and maybe today you would say, I know what you're talking about because I'm struggling with hopelessness. Well, I want to say to you this morning, congratulations, you're in a great place because the Church of God is a place of hope. Liberty Baptist Church should be a place of hope, a place that you can come in the midst of your hopelessness, in the midst of your struggle, in the midst of whatever you're dealing with, and here you can find hope. It should be a place where the prodigal son can come and find the father's arms open wide to receive him, a place of hope. It should be a place where the prostitute can come and find the father ready and able to offer forgiveness and cleansing. It should be a place where the one that is down and out can come and find acceptance and find hope. This morning, I want to talk to you about hope. I want to talk to you about the God of hope. There's one verse of scripture this morning that I want us to look at. Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. It says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, there's three statements I want to make this morning, three encouraging statements. I want to help you this morning. If you're struggling with hope, three statements that I believe that will encourage, that will help you this morning. Number one, no matter what you're going through this morning, God can give you hope. No matter what you're going through this morning, God can give you hope. Why do I say it? Because look at the first part of this verse. Now may the God of hope, in other words, He is the God who gives hope. He is the owner of hope. He is the master of hope. He is the distributor of hope. He is the one that gives us hope. And so we come this morning and gathered and we are worshiping the God of hope. Now understand, this hope is not a hope so hope. This hope is I'm anticipating it. I am waiting for it. It is a celebration of hope. I come to give this hope, to have this hope, because God is a God of hope. And no matter what you're going through this morning, no matter what your struggle may be, God is a God of hope, and He can give you hope. And you say, well now, Bobby, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know the struggle that I'm facing. You don't know my area that I'm lacking hope in. And I would say, no, I don't know. But I know 2,000 years ago, there was a situation where everybody almost lost hope. 2,000 years ago, a man by the name of Jesus was ridiculed, and he was mocked, and he went through a false trial. He was beaten. He was forced to carry his own cross. He was nailed to that cross. He hung on that cross, and he died. And all of his believers, all of his followers, they lost hope. They lost hope. Now think about it. Peter and James and John, Matthew and others, listen, they sold everything they had. They gave up all they had to follow this man by the name of Jesus. They believed in Him. They hoped in Him. They were sure that He was the one that they had been looking for. They were sure that He was the one that was going to rescue them. They were believing that He was the one that would redeem them from all of their trials, all of their struggles, all of their problems. He was the one that they were banking on. And now they see Him on a cross. And He had died. And with that death, they lost all hope. They saw Him take the body off the cross. They saw them wrap the body, and they placed Him in that tomb. They rolled that rock in front of the tomb. And they left that place dejected. They left that place hopeless. But folks, that was on Friday. But see, Sunday morning came, and the angel descended, the earth quaked, and the stone was rolled away, and that tomb was empty. And those disciples, they ran to that tomb as fast as they could. And listen, that stone was rolled away, but it was not rolled away to let Jesus out. It was rolled away to let people in, to see that the tomb was empty, to see that Jesus was alive, and that all hope had been restored. The greatest miracle in the Bible, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And folks, if God can raise Jesus from the dead, there is no struggle, there is no problem, there is no difficulty that you are facing in your life today that God cannot handle. God can handle it because the Bible said that He is a God who can do the impossible. You might say, boy, my life is just impossible right now. Good, because God can do the impossible. He is a God who is ready to bring you out of that place of hopelessness because He's a God of hope. You know, I love Psalms chapter 42. It's a great psalm, and we remember certain parts of it. But let me remind you, Psalms chapter 42, the author of that psalm has been exiled away from his home. He's been taken away from his family. He's been taken away from his friends. The people there, his enemies are surrounding him. They're mocking him. And the psalmist says, my tears are my food all day long while they cry out, where is your God? And about the time he begins to sink into despair and depression and hopelessness, he remembers in verse 11, he cries out, "But wait, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you hopeless?" Hope in God. Hope in God. And see, the first part of the psalm, what he was doing, he was focusing on his problem. He was focusing on his struggle. But then he turned his eyes off his problems and began to focus on God. And when he began to focus on God, he began to experience that hope. That hope. He's a God of hope. You know, I saw a picture years ago about I had an old man and a little boy standing beside this burned out shack. And the little boy was crying. And the old man was turned toward the little boy, and underneath the picture were the words, "Hush, my child. God's not dead. God's not dead." So no matter what your struggle may be, no matter what the problem you may be going through, listen, God's not dead. He is a God of hope who can give you hope in the midst of whatever it is that you're struggling with this morning. So no matter how bad your situation may be, God can give you hope. Encouragement statement number two, no matter how empty you might feel, God can fill you up. No matter how empty you might feel, look at what the scripture says here. "Now may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope." I love that word, abound. That God can fill you so that you might be filled with joy and peace, that you might be running over with hope. Let me ask you something this morning. How many people do you know that abounding with hope? How many people you know that their life is so filled with joy and peace that they are just overflowing with hope? Probably not a lot. You don't see a lot of people like that today, because we've gotten so wrapped up in the world. We've gotten so wrapped up in the negativity of the world. We look at this world, we look at society, and we've gotten so caught up in that we have allowed the world to influence our way of living, our way of thinking. And so now we as Christians walk around in doom and gloom. We're so negative. We're so discouraged. Listen, you don't have to be an atheist to be empty, because there's a lot of people sitting in pews today that their life is so empty, because they're trying to live their life for the world rather than living their life for God. And they've placed God on the back burner, and God's there if I need him, but he's usually the last resort. And they're empty. And they're empty. And they're living their life not overflowing with hope, not filled with joy and peace. You know, I love the book of Ecclesiastes. It's a hard book to read. It's a hard book to spell. But you know, I like Ecclesiastes. And in Ecclesiastes, Solomon, who we believe to be the smartest man to ever live, the wisest man to ever live, when he was writing that book, what Solomon was doing, Solomon was trying to find satisfaction in life. He was trying to find fulfillment in life. But what he does is he uses this term, under the sun. And whenever you see Solomon using that term, under the sun, what you need to understand is he's trying to find fulfillment. He's trying to find satisfaction apart from God in the things of the world. So Solomon goes through this entire series of struggles trying to find fulfillment in life. Basically doing the same thing that you and I do every single day. He said, "I'm going to find fulfillment in life. So the first thing I'm going to do, I'm going to try it in wisdom. I'm going to learn. I'm going to read. I'm going to study. I'm going to go to school. I'm going to fill my brain with all kinds of knowledge and understanding. And when I get all this understanding, I'm going to be fulfilled in life." Well, after he did all that learning and study and reading and applying all that stuff in his brain, he'd come to say, "Boy, that's useless. That's useless. I still feel empty." So he said, okay, wisdom is not going to do it. I'm going to try wit. I'm going to try laughter. I'm just going to laugh my way through life. I'm going to have a good time. I'm going to enjoy pleasures. I'm just going to fulfill my life with pleasure and joy and just live life to the fullest. The only problem was when all that joy and all that fulfillment of pleasure and leisure, he said, that's not it either. I still feel empty. I still feel worthless. So he said, you know what I want to try? I think I want to try wine. I'm going to try liquor. You know, I'm just going to drink and drink and drink and drink my problems away. When I wake up in the morning, all my problems will be gone. Well, that didn't work either, did it? That didn't work either because he realized that he had a terrible hangover and his problems and struggles were still there. So wisdom didn't work. Wit didn't work. Wine didn't work. He said, okay, I'm just going to work. I'm going to work my life away. I'm going to give myself to my job, to my career. I'm going to put 16, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I'm going to pour it. I'm going to climb the corporate ladder. And I know then I will be successful and I will be fulfilled in life. He said, that's vanity too. That didn't work either. So he's trying this, all this stuff. He said, well, studying didn't do it. Partying didn't do it. Drinking didn't do it. And working didn't do it. I know what will do it. I know exactly what will do it. Women will do it. So he had 700 wives, 300 concubines, 1,000 mother-in-laws. And this was the smartest man. This was the smartest man. And Solomon realized that that didn't do it either. He couldn't find fulfillment. He could not find fulfillment. In fact, he said, I hate life. I hate life. It is vanity. It's useless. I can't find fulfillment. I can't find satisfaction. And can I tell you why? Because you were not created to find satisfaction in this world. You are not created to find fulfillment in this world. God created you to find fulfillment and satisfaction in Him. D.L. Moody said, you can take all the thrills, everything in this world that this world has to offer and put it in the man's soul, and that soul will still be empty. And there's a lot of people today that's trying all these other things in life, trying to find fulfillment, trying to find satisfaction. And they're empty. They're empty lives. But the God of hope says, no matter how empty you are, no matter how empty you are, He can fill you with hope and peace and joy so that you're just overflowing with hope. That's the God of hope. That no matter how bad your situation is, God can give you hope. No matter how empty you might feel, God can fill you up. And thirdly, no matter where you are, God can save you. No matter where you are, God can save you. Notice the scripture. May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace and believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, the scripture says, according to His great mercy, He has created us to be born again to a living hope. To a living hope. And see, that's the message of the church. That's the reason why this church has been standing here all of those, how many, 10,000 Sunday morning, because from the podium, this church has proclaimed the gospel of hope. It is the gospel of God. It is a gospel that changes lives. It is a gospel that saves. And that is the message. And that is what we need to continue to share from the podium, the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, right now, we get to worship God by faith. But you know, one day we're going to worship God face to face. And we're going to hug Him. And we're going to bow before Him. And it's only made possible because of the gospel, because of the hope that we have through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I love the gospel. The gospel is wonderful. But can I tell you this morning, the gospel is also very, what's the word I want? Scary. It's very scary. Because the gospel tells us that one day, every one of us is going to stand in judgment before God. And God is going to ask you one day, why should I allow you into my heaven? How are you going to answer? Well, you know, God, I've been going to Liberty Baptist Church there in Thomasville for forever, almost ever since they founded the church. I'm one of those old saints. And I've always been, and God, I read my Bible, and God, I tithe, and God, I've taught Sunday. I've been a deacon. God, you know, God, I've done all of these things. And God, I want you to know, I am so much better than that pastor. I am so much better than he is. Listen, God's going to say, that's not what I'm looking for. I want to know, how do you stack up in comparison to the righteousness, that perfect righteousness of my son Jesus? And what are you going to answer? I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble. And so are you. Because it don't have anything about doing about what we do or who we are. It's all about who Jesus is. And all we can say is, Lord, I'm unworthy. I'm a sinner. But I fall upon the grace of your son, Jesus, and his death upon the cross of Calvary. That's all we got. That's all we got. That's our hope. That's the gospel. But boy, ain't it good news. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's the good news. Whosoever. Guess what? You fit right into that. You're a whosoever. And if you'll put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you will not perish, but you'll have everlasting life. Isn't that wonderful? You might remember several years ago, a man by the name of Jeffrey Dahmer. You remember Jeffrey Dahmer? Probably one of the most wicked men that ever lived. Not only did he kill his victim, but he mutilated their bodies and even supposedly even had some of them for lunch. Terrible, terrible individual. Jeffrey Dahmer was in a prison, and a man by the name of Wycliffe began to visit with him, Roy Wycliffe. God laid it on his heart to go and visit Jeffrey Dahmer while he's in prison. And guess what? Jeffrey Dahmer received Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior and was baptized while he was in prison. And if you make it to heaven one day, you may see Jeffrey Dahmer there. The most wicked, vilest man you can imagine. The book of John tells us about another man by the name of Nicodemus. Pharisee, a very God-fearing man. Very moral man. Jesus told Nicodemus, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Listen, Nicodemus wasn't too good that he needed to be saved. Jeffrey Dahmer wasn't so evil that he couldn't be saved. And listen, I know this morning, there is no one here that is as evil as Jeffrey Dahmer. But I also know this morning, there's no one here as good as Nicodemus. Every one of us falls somewhere between the two. And every one of us, we're not so bad that we can't be saved, but we're not so good that we don't need to be saved. And if you're here this morning, and you've never given your hope, your heart and life to Christ, the God of hope is here to give you hope. not only in this world today, but in hope eternal, everlasting hope. He's a God of hope, the God of hope that can give you hope no matter how bad your situation might be, the God of hope that can fill you up no matter how empty you might feel, and the God of hope who can give you hope that will last for all eternity by putting your faith and trust in Him. And if you're here this morning, you've never given your life to Him, why not do it today? What are you waiting on? What are you waiting on? Pastor David is going to come and stand down front, and we're going to sing our hymn of invitation, but I want to leave you with this. William Boat, back in the 1800s, wrote a hymn that we sing, and I know you know the words. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. If you haven't put your hope and trust in Christ, do that this morning. Maybe this morning you feel hopeless. Maybe there's a situation in your life that you just feel hopeless. This altar is open this morning. Why not just come before the Lord and say, God, here is this situation. Here is this place in my life that I feel so empty. I feel so hopeless. God, I give that to you this morning because you're the God of hope. And you can give me hope. However God has spoken to you this morning, be faithful, be obedient to Him. Pastor David.